Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast. My name is Chris, my partner, Andrea Floyd. And on this podcast, we try to deconstruct best practices from some of our industry's top performers. And today, we've got one of those. We've got Scott Sutton, who is Chief Development Officer for Empower Brands. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. I'm going to hand you off to Andrea, and she's going to start barraging you with a lot of questions.
Sounds good. So, Scott, let's start. Tell us a little bit about you personally and how you get started in franchising.
Great question. I will tell you that, like many, I didn't, as a young person, think that I was going to be in franchising. I wasn't thinking about being a fireman or a police officer or someone in franchising. And I didn't go to college to study franchising. However, I did have the opportunity to work for a fast food franchisor as a marketing intern near my college at the University of Oklahoma. Got to do that for 2 summers, which was a great exposure to the concept of franchising. Fast forward, post my time in college, had an opportunity to go to work in the petroleum space and was put on a team to actually build a new-to-industry concept in the franchising space, because I had franchising experience, which was kind of interesting. That was back in the early 1990s. I'm not going to totally date myself, but I've been in the space ever since. It's been incredibly humbling, rewarding, and exceptionally fun. So it's been quite a ride, and really grateful to have had the opportunity to be exposed to and ultimately work within the franchising sector.
Yeah, that's great. Long history there. That's great.
Yeah, we don't, and we also don't want to date you, Scott, but what is that, about 30 years in franchising? So you've seen a lot.
So ish.
Yeah?
Okay. Tell us about Empower Brands.
Yeah, Empower Brands. Wow. Before I step into Empower Brands, it's important to note that I've had the opportunity to work with some really fantastic companies, publicly traded companies, private equity backed companies, family businesses. And I will tell you that Empower is such a different organization. We are private equity backed. So we have a private equity sponsor, a partner that helps us run and grow and be the best that we can be. But fundamentally, Empower is an organization that still has at its heart a focus on championing the success of franchisees. And the reason is because when you really look at the very top, Scott Zide, who is our CEO, you know, he's about my age, went to college near where I went to college. And when he got out of school, he said, you know what, I want to own my own business. So he became a franchise owner in the food space and ended up owning and operating 2 locations, built those, created value, sold those businesses, and became the 5th franchise owner in Outdoor Lighting Perspectives. He and his wife, Erin, came together and said, well, how do we continue to grow and evolve? Scott ended up selling that OLP and began working for the Outdoor Lighting Perspectives franchise business. That's one of our businesses that remains in the portfolio today. And then Erin became a 2-time franchise owner in Outdoor Lighting Perspectives. Outdoor Lighting Perspectives partnered up with a company called Arkadec Outdoor Living. So Arkadec and OLP began the framework of what would become Outdoor Living Brands. They incubated, really from scratch, a concept called Mosquito Squad, which really started that mosquito abatement category that I'm not sure how many brands exist today in that category. But there was this very focused interest, curiosity about new to industry brands. And so over time, Empower has evolved from bringing together, partnering and merging with industry leading, category leading brands, while at the same time incubating and launching new concepts that have helped us round out the portfolio. Several years ago, Outdoor Living Brands and a company called Lynx Franchising, which included First Team Restoration and JanPro, formed Empower Brands through a transaction. And we've been going to market as Empower really for, you know, going on 2 years now, which has been a lot of fun. So we have a heavy residential presence. We have some commercial concepts in the portfolio. But fundamentally, and this is what's key, our focus has always been on the franchise owner. And that comes from Scott Zide and the four other members of our leadership team that used to be or are franchise owners. That's unique.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think, you know, the development of Empower Brands, and I don't know how many you're up to, maybe 10 different home service brands. It seems like that's been a big focus, even though, you know, Scott, the CEO, originally was in more of the fast food space, pivoted over to home services. What is Empower like so much about the home service brands?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I will tell you that we've really honed in on the concepts and the categories that lean into the needs and in some cases the wants, right? But the needs of where our clients live, love, laugh, connect, grow, age, that's the home. And we saw it in COVID. I think a lot of us tried to understand what does COVID mean for our business. And what we saw during, certainly after and continuing today, what we saw from COVID was that people live in their home, right? They live around their home. That's where they're connecting with friends, with family. They're making memories. And so taking care of their homes, expanding their homes, improving their homes is a major priority and less of a discretionary spend item than you would think when compared with those categories that aren't, call it, home-centric. And so the data are there. Certainly, if you look at the data, the investment in folks' homes continues, the expectations are high. But what we're seeing and hearing from our clients is just that, that they're willing to make those investments and want to for the benefit of either the non-recurring need-based purchase or the want purchase like an Arkadeck Outdoor Living where they're literally improving their backyard to create an oasis where they can, again, live, love, laugh, connect, and be.
Yeah. You know, Scott, one of the questions I was dying to ask you, because I can understand why Empower Brands wants to be in the home services, but looking at it from the perspective of a potential franchisee, somebody who's looking at franchising for the first time, you know, a lot of times Andrea and I will work with clients who they're coming from corporate America, oftentimes after 20, 30 years. And the word you'll hear over and over is, I want to do something I'm more passionate about, right? Something that has more meaning in my life. And, you know, not all the time, but sometimes home services doesn't scream passion and meaning. And what would you say to those folks? Because the reality is, you know, home services can be very lucrative and you can be very successful. But what would you say to those folks?
Hey, it's a great question. And we hear that, right? We hear that particularly from candidates that come to our Empower Days and talk about their journey and really what they thought of certain categories and quite frankly, home services when they stepped into the journey compared to how they think about it downstream, down funnel, and when they get close to making that decision. Look, fundamentally, home services is really simple. And I don't want to oversimplify it, but I'm going to. It's really simple. Home services is about caring for our clients. That's fundamental. So we know that a lot of our candidates are, you know, Chris, they're passionate about building teams. They're passionate about enriching the lives of their employees, their communities through business ownership. So those passion points are there. But to your point, when you think about home services, it's about caring for clients. We have a concept called bumble roofing. You don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to put a new roof on the house, right? You're doing that because it is a necessity. And a lot of times it is a stress necessity. So you're making that decision because you have to. There's been an impact to the roof. Maybe there's an insurance issue with reinsuring the home because the roof is old. That is a stressful situation. And so caring for that homeowner, for that client the right way, dealing with them fairly, transparently, being above board and professional means something to that client. You're caring for them. And the same can be said about the homeowner that wants to be careful with the environmental impact of irrigation for their lawn, right? They want to care for their lawn the right way. So fundamentally, home services is about caring for people in their places, their spaces, where again, they're living, they're loving, and they're connecting. And that's when you start educating candidates about the impact of the service, what it means to the client, they start to understand and gain a passion for that, because most of us have either been there as a homeowner or were there as a homeowner.
Yeah. No, great answer. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. So Scott, let's dig in. You have, you know, we said 10 brands, 10 different models, 10 different industries. What do you typically look for in an industry and a business model to bring in other brands to empower?
Great question. So, you know, first and foremost, we want, and when we think about the strategy, we want our brand orientation to make sense, to have adjacencies and the opportunity for cross-selling in the markets where we serve, right? That's fundamental. The other piece is when we look at brands, we're looking for brands that are high value. They meet a need. So they're less, you know, less discretionary. They're more recession resistant. And they're in a category that is not professionalized, right? Where the consumer is demanding and desiring a higher level of service. And that, those are services that involve technology, the enablement and use of new technology systems to meet our customers where they are and where they're going. Everybody's got one of these, right? So we've got to make sure that we're tech enabled. And then from a professionalism perspective, I think we all have experiences where we've sought a service, sought a product, and the delivery, the education, the instruction, the interaction with a particular company has been less than professional. That's an opportunity for us when we look at categories and try to understand, does that category accentuate the portfolio from a service offering perspective? Is it adjacent? Does it make sense from a strategy perspective? And if it does, let's create the right brand that's professional, that's tech enabled, and that is going to say to the client, we care for you. That's fundamental about what we're trying to do in the portfolio.
Okay. That's great.
So bringing it back again to the potential franchisee perspective, somebody that's looking at franchises, you know, if I'm a potential franchisee, maybe I'm looking at a franchise where they're a singular company, right? And then I'm looking at one of Empower's brands, where I'm looking at one of your brands, but Empower also has, you know, the machinery and the infrastructure that's training and supporting and marketing for 10 brands. If I'm new to this, is that a good thing? Bad thing? If it is a good thing, why? Like, how do I value that?
Yeah, I think there's good and bad, right? I'm a firm believer that, you know, there's strengths and weaknesses no matter which path you choose. Good franchisors that have one brand are still good franchisors, fundamentally, right? One of the benefits Empower has, when you think about the length of time in which Empower's brands have been operating, the length of time in which our executives have been operating in the franchising space, we have a lot of experience, a lot of institutional knowledge, and we're set up in a manner that each brand has a brand president, has a director of operations, and has field business consultants that do nothing but support the franchise owners in that brand. At the same time, at the Empower level, we have shared services organizations, the largest of which, of course, is marketing. So we have a marketing center of excellence that is made up of creative resources, creative personnel, and marketing personnel, whether it's online, offline. These are subject matter experts that are leaning into each brand, but they're part of one organization that is investing in understanding the leading edge of marketing techniques, the leading technologies related to marketing, and applying those learnings, those experiences, and the investments across the array of brands. The same is said for our accounting, bookkeeping, and benchmarking department, our training and onboarding department, even our legal, HR, all of those shared services components bring an extra level of value simply because we're big enough to be able to invest in those leading edge areas And we've got a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience. A lot of that's come from things we've tried that haven't worked. But nonetheless, we have a lot of experience that we can lean on that applies to all of the brands in the portfolio. And that's also valuable. So I would never tell a candidate, like, discount the value that a single brand franchisor brings to the table. There are many great ones out there. But when you're looking at a portfolio organization, I've always said, make sure that the portfolio's shared services are franchise brand and franchisee focused, right? That's where the value can come. And that's where I believe we bring a tremendous amount of value.
That's great. That's a really helpful answer. I think that's going to help people as they go through this. And we talk about even just this family of brands. And so thinking about the customer in general, a lot of home services have a lot of competition. You may mentioned a lot of your businesses are more need-based. So we know there's competition out there. How do you know when competition is a good thing and when it's just too much?
Yeah, there's three things. I'd say there's three legs of the stool there. So, first off, I will tell you, I very much would prefer to be in a category where we have very good competition, right? Good competition elevates the perception of the category. And there are some categories where the competitors don't do right by the client. They have, you know, sort of less than high quality standards for what they're selling or servicing. And when you and we all can have examples in our own mind, like, oh, I was involved in this service, I got this product, and it was substandard. And so now our perception of that entire category can be a little bit clouded. So, you know, that's not helpful, Andrea, when we think about, you know, competitors that are not acting in the best interest of the client. That can be hurtful across the board. When we think about the sheer numbers of competitors, I think at the end of the day, we're not necessarily afraid of a high quantity of competitors. What we really want to understand is, how do we differentiate? How can we be seen as a company that stands ahead of the competition? Canopy Lawn Care is a great example. It is lawn science, so it's not what others would call a mow and blow brand. It is a weed and feed brand that was developed by Hunt Davis in Raleigh, North Carolina. But part of Hunt's focus was to utilize technology. So think about how rapidly we expect, not want, but think about how rapidly we all expect to receive information. I was showing my phone earlier. I could do it again, but I won't. If you think about the way that Canopy is set up, Canopy's quote system is all tech-based. You enter your address into the website, you click submit, those data go to an AI platform that measures your property, hits a quoting schedule, and returns a live quote in an almost instantaneous period of time. So as a consumer, that's valuable. I don't want to pick up the phone and call someone. I don't want someone coming out to my house and walking around my yard and measuring and having a conversation with me. I want the information now. So that's an example, right? There, that's a crowded category. But what we said about that category is we have an opportunity to differentiate, to tell the customer and the consumer that we are a better provider of these services based on the technology. And then, of course, there's differentiators in the actual product and service itself. But that's just an example. If we have an opportunity to differentiate, rise above the competition in a category that might be saturated, we're not afraid of that.
So, two-part question here, Scott. So you have 10 brands. Some of them are older brands, more mature, have hundreds of locations. Some of them are emerging. So the first question is, again, if I'm looking at franchises, is there, do you find that there's a big difference? Will there be a big difference in my experience if I come on board with a franchise, if I join a 30 location franchises versus a 400 location franchise? So that's the first question. And then if your answer is yes, that experience is going to be much different. Have you found a distinct, you know, personality profile, a big difference between the kind of folks that would do well in a more mature franchise as opposed to ones that are going to excel in an emerging brand?
Yeah. So let's talk about the first question for a second. I think you know, are there advantages, so to speak, when you think about an emerging brand, which is one, you know, that isn't necessarily emerging? I mean, I think the answer is it could, right? It really depends on how a particular company might be set up to support an emerging brand, right? In our portfolio, we have three cohorts of brands, right? We've got emerging brands, incubation brands, we have emerging high growth, and then we have mature brands. And so I think from the perspective of understanding the positives and negatives of that, it's always important to understand that new brands that are emerging. And so there's going to be some evolution. There's going to be some test and learn. There's going to be A/B testing to understand what works best in a particular market over another market, right? Every new brand in a new market is a new, it's a new business at the consumer level as well. So when you're seeding those markets, those are things that are important considerations. You know, from our view, the good news is, you know, we've been there and we've done that. We've incubated a number of brands. It started with Mosquito Squad. We incubated Canopy Lawn Care. We incubated Bubble Roofing. We've incubated Wallaby Windows. So there's a number of brand examples where we've been able to apply learnings, right? Successes and failures, to apply that along that continuum. The question about who seems to be the frequent franchisee in an emerging brand, the term that comes to mind for me is it's early adoption. It's folks that kind of thrive being an early adopter, whether it's the first 1,000 people that bought a Tesla or the folks that first tried out the iPhone. These are people that are hungry to be on the leading edge of something that's growing, that's new, that's exciting, that's different. That tends to be the persona of the folks that are willing and able and excited to become a franchise owner in an incubation, in a new brand, and they're risk takers. I mean, so we see that fundamentally when we're launching brands. These are people that are like, I get it, I want it, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. So people need to be honest with themselves if they're looking at an emerging brand, if that's part of them or not, right?
Yeah. I think it's, and we ask these questions fundamentally. You know, are you, if you like and want to be given, and I'm saying this figuratively, right? To be given a 3-ring binder that you open the top and it's got, you do this at 8:15 in the morning on your first day and 9:30 in the morning on your 7th day and, you know, 1:00 in the afternoon on your 10th year, 2nd month, 1st week and 3rd day, right? A very clear recipe, then an incubation emerging brand may not be the right brand for you because that brand is still evolving. And there are things about that brand that everyone is still learning. And as that learning and evolution continues, you are perfecting every day the way you think about the operation of the business, the marketing of the business, the hiring of the business. It is fundamentally variable. And I think some people gravitate to that. So I don't think I can say it any better. You just nailed it, right? Be honest with yourself, right? Look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, am I okay with ambiguity? Because that's what an emerging brand can bring to the day-to-day existence of being a business owner, ambiguity, right? Some people are comfortable with that, some aren't.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
No, that's great. Scott, we really appreciate you sharing your insights today. I think as we think about Empower Brands and everything that you bring to the table, the shared services that you're able to provide, as well as just the individual having that, like you said, president of each brand and that leadership team, I think that's what makes all your brands successful. And as you think about a lot of the technology that you're bringing, we have a lot of clients that come into our portfolio where they're really, they've been out in corporate, they've had large jobs, they're looking for something that has a tech savvy piece to it. And I think a lot of your brands have that, whether it's Conserver, you mentioned, you know, Canopy Lawns. I think that's really helpful for our clients to hear and see there's brands out there that aren't their home service, but they're a little bit fancy of our home service. They have that tech component to it. And so I know I've learned a lot today. I know Chris has learned a lot and our listeners have as well. And for those of you listening, if you're considering franchising as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one size fits all franchise that suits everyone. But even so, there's a perfect franchise out for there for you, and we can help you explore that. To explore options and find your perfect match, please visit us at theperfectfranchise.com. By clicking on Let's Talk, you can schedule time to speak with one of our consultants on the Perfect Franchise team. We look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode. Till then, take care.